Let's pray together. Lord, we give you praise and thanks because you are good. One of the great blessings of being a believer is that your presence is always with us. What a gift to wake up in the morning and know that you're there. When we go to sleep, you're still there. Throughout the day, you're there. And you will always be there because you never change. And you promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for that great gift. And even when we're going through hard times, difficult times, things that we don't understand and can't comprehend, when it seems like we're surrounded by fog and mystery, things that we can't wrap our heads around, Lord, we have you to turn to, and we trust you. We know, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning and will work everything out toward the fulfillment of your eternal purposes. And we give you thanks for that. Father, we want to pray today for our nation. It's very easy to become critical of things that are going on. That takes no effort at all. But Lord, we want to be people who see you behind the scenes. And we want to be those that even will continue to pray, God, for you to stir the hearts of people once again toward God and godliness. And I often pray, Lord, especially for this younger generation, because I feel like they have drifted so far away from an understanding of what truth is all about. And I'm praying, God, that you would raise up people uniquely gifted to reach the younger generation. A new voice, new voices, Lord, that can call people to faith in Jesus Christ with effect and have the influence to be able to point them in a good direction. Thank you, Lord, for things that are taking place, for movements that have been taking place on college campuses and universities. Many hundreds of young people coming to Christ. We don't hear about it on the news, no surprise there. But Lord, we want to pray that would continue and even that would sweep across the face of this nation and that we would see a great turning to you again. We pray your protection over our leaders, for President Trump and the Vice President and those who represent us in Congress. We pray your strong blessing on them. Even, Lord, almost praying for the impossible that you would eradicate a lot of the division that's there. And cause our congressmen to seek your face concerning the many important decisions that they face. Give us wisdom in our dealings with other nations. You put us in a place, Lord, where we have a lot of influence globally, for good or bad. And I pray that it would be for good as we seek your face and look to you for wisdom. I pray, Lord, especially now today for people from our own church family that are in need. There are some physical needs. Lord, we lift them up to you. We believe in your healing power. Sometimes, Lord, you work in dramatic ways to restore people to health. And sometimes they're not even restored to health, but Lord, we believe that we can always look to you, we can always ask for your help. And we pray, Lord, that you would intrude into our lives in the areas of our need. And let us find strength and encouragement through you. Pray for those who are struggling financially or need a place to stay or having some relational issues, relational struggles or addictions that they're trying to break. God, we believe the source of strength is in Christ. And I pray that you would teach us, show us how to tap into that and experience, Lord, great deliverances in our lives. And now I pray, Lord, your anointing on Nate as he comes to share. Let us not so much hear what he has to share as coming from him, but God, we pray that you would speak through him to us, whatever you have for us this day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We've heard the saying, like, I was born for this, all right? And if we were to think of some people maybe that were born for a particular purpose, you might think of like folks like Michael Jordan, right?
He was born for basketball.
Some people might say that Mozart, right, was born to compose music. Some people might say that Gordon Ramsay was born to cook.
Certainly not me.
I was not born to cook. I was not born to compose music. Some might say that cats were born to be ornery and to be thorn in the sides of people, torment me. But I would submit that we are created to worship. And I would like to explore that a little bit this morning, starting in Chapter 43, verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it reads, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory." And can I just say, I love that we were born to worship. About some of the other things that we think people were born to do, Gordon Ramsay as a cook, or Michael Jordan as a basketball player, ultimately I think that those things end up being temporary. They're things that don't last. Michael Jordan retired a long time ago. Gordon Ramsay's food has already been eaten, and it's just here today and gone tomorrow. Things that are temporary. This is why I love that we are created for worship. We have a purpose that matters. When you think about it, worship plays into eternity, and it goes beyond this lifetime. I love that we are created to worship. And as we're going to jump into it a little bit more this find that, at least I think, that worship is something that's a delight, something that's great and wonderful. And so I'd like to kind of look into that this morning. So let's turn now to Psalm 150. And we're going to notice a theme here pretty quick. Of course, one of the things that we are taught to look for as we're reading in Scripture, one of the things is that we look for is repetition. And we're going to pick up, that's one of the reasons I like this psalm, is I was able to pick up on the repetition on this one pretty quick. So your assignment is to try to identify what is being repeated in this psalm. I haven't even started yet. But yes, you got it. Hey, there's repetition there. Good catch. Well, as we're going to read. In Psalm 150, it reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Now, did you even catch how many times that word was mentioned in that chapter? Neither did I. I think it's like a dozen or something, but Psalms, I looked it up, and it's something like 166 times the word praise is used. And that's just in the book of Psalms, let alone throughout all of Scripture. And I'd like to just notice even just a few things here from this psalm. Certainly we identify the repetition piece. The key word there is praise. Now, we're also supposed to, like in my studies, we're taught to look for action words. Praise is an action. We're given reasons why we can praise. And just this psalm alone, it talks about his acts of power, his surpassing greatness. And we're given a number of different instruments. That's another pattern that you can look for when you're studying scriptures. You can look for lists.
Identify
lists. And here we have a list of a number of different instruments. Now, of course, the first instrument that's listed is the trumpet. Trumpets were used for the grandest of events in that time. Trumpets were there. They used trumpets during the times of Jubilee,
or for kings,
announcing kings,
for war,
even when they were giving the law, they used trumpets. And so, naturally, trumpets top the list
in this psalm as we're thinking about
praising to God, the grandest of people, or the grandest of things to do. God.
Of course we would use the trumpet.
And then we do see like half a dozen instruments in there. Now, one of the things that maybe we can think about here is that it might not even be about just what instruments are being used here, but
just simply note that
we should praise God really with anything
and everything we have.
Can you make a list of things that in your life that you could use to offer as praise to God? Here they listed instruments. But what else can we offer to God in praise? There's a list there.
And then I appreciate this picture of the symbols.
And we're talking about resounding noise with the cymbals. And so we're not looking at weak
soft worship here.
These guys are giving it everything they have. They are worshiping with all their strength and with all their might. It's not lazy. They're not holding it back. They're giving it all. And I want to encourage us this morning that we too can sing out with the top of our lungs and dance with all of our might as we are worshiping God. Now, how can we consider worship
in our lives?
Or even at church? Everything that we do, even at church, should be
to the praise of His glory.
Certainly music. As I preach, I should be doing it to the praise of His glory. How about even announcements? When we give announcements, are we doing it
for an
incentive of worship? Everything we should do should be with an incentive of worship. It just gives it purpose and life. In our own lives, consider the activities that we do. Can we do that with a spirit of worship? Or the attitudes that we have, can that be in a way that's consciously thinking about worshiping God? In our family, in our relationships, how we treat others, are those things that are being directed towards God's worship? My action, my lifestyle can be an expression of worship. And in my thoughts, we can worship God with all that we have and with all that we do. Now, there's a difference between praise and worship. I was looking up some of the Greek and Hebrew words for praise and worship, and in praise, it's kind of more about commending, or it can even be celebrating. Praise can be giving thanks with extended hands,
or approval.
I've heard that praise can be more about kind of like what God does. Worship is kind of like who God is. Worship in the Hebrew and the Greek translation, it can read to bow down, to prostrate yourself before God, to pay homage to God, reverence. It even alludes to work and service. And so, why worship? In Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, he gives us at least a number of reasons here right off the bat why to worship. First, it's a chance we have to delight in God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And also, worship, I mean, another reason to worship is that God delights in us. Think about that for a minute. Isn't that really special? If you really think about how God would take delight in us, that's an amazing and incredible thought to me. We who are finite, in comparison to a God who is incomparable, in us. Isaiah 62. I'm going to read the first few verses here. It says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations you will see your righteousness," which I believe is a reflection of worship. "And all kings, your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hands, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your name, your land, desolate. But you will be called Hephzibah," which in the footnote there, you'll notice means "my delight is in her." "And your lands will be called Beulah," which in the footnotes reads "married." "And your land will be married, for the Lord will take delight in you. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." I appreciate this picture of God, a God who delights and takes pleasure in us. So many times I feel like we just feel like we don't measure up. And we fall short. And we kind of see this God who's making a list of everything that we've done wrong. And sometimes we picture him as like an angry, grumpy old guy upstairs. But the truth is, when we worship, God actually delights and rejoices over us. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says he actually sings over us with delight. That's just a really cool and encouraging thought to me. The God of the universe rejoices over us when we worship. To me, that's a special reason why we worship. A couple other reasons why we worship. We find in James chapter 4, verse 8, both in that we are able to draw near to God, and God is able to draw near to us. James 4:8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. I find a lot of encouragement and comfort and strength in that too. Knowing that we can just be close to God. God ministers to us in worship. Now, worship is intended for God. It is intended for his glory. That is like our main objective as we worship. However, God and his grace ministers to us as well. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God ministers to us in worship. Number six on Wayne Grudem's list is that enemies flee when we worship. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verses 21 and 22, it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now they're going to battle here, facing their enemies. And then it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. There is power in worship. And the last reason on this particular list, why we can praise, is that it can serve as a witness to unbelievers. Again, this isn't the main incentive of worship, but it can serve as a testimony to others and make God known to others. And so we have lots of incentives to worship God. And I just want to, close with a couple more passages from Scripture. In Revelation, there's lots and lots of good passages of worship. And I encourage you, take a look at some of those passages. Revelation 4, Revelation 5, Revelation 19 is another one. There's a number worship from Revelation, and I would read more from that. Today I chose the Psalms to read from. A few weeks ago I read through, or a few months ago I think I read through some of those passages from Revelation. But those are, boy, there's some good stuff on worship there in Revelation. So I encourage that. But I'm going to read from Psalm 100. And as we're reading, I just encourage you to open up along with the psalmists and worship from your own heart as we read these few verses. It reads, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Notice how thanksgiving and praise are kind of tied together there. I think there's a lot of power in being thankful, focusing on some of the positives. We talk about this a lot. I'm very, very passionate about this, how, sometimes it just feels like the world can be so negative and dark and weigh down on us so much. And I am so passionate about Thanksgiving because it just shifts our focus from the negatives to the positives. Thanksgiving and praise go together. And we can thank the source of the giver of those good things in God. We have lots of reasons to be grateful. One of the things I try to do, every time I pray, I try to at least start off by listing off some things to God that I'm grateful for. We just have so much to be grateful for. And, God, there's a lot of power in prayer. I encourage passionate prayer. I like to start off with thanksgiving when I pray, though. And, I believe that God knows our needs and knows our requests, and I'm encouraging that we still pray about those kinds of things. But I think it takes it to another level when we acknowledge God first when we pray and when we are thankful to God. As a pastor or as a teacher, I know for myself, if someone, just comes to me and even greet me, and they just like, hey, Nate, you got to do this, this, and that, and they just start demanding things of me, it doesn't feel the same way if someone comes up to me and is like, hey, how's it going today, Nate? I appreciate, this or that, Nate. It's just a different tone, right? And if all we do is just list our demands to God, I just kind of wonder how he feels about that. I like to start out prayer with thanksgiving and praise. Because he deserves it, and he is so worthy of it. And I think it also just kind of shifts our attitude and perspective. And then I like to go into maybe some of the things that are on my heart to pray for. Thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand. I appreciate this psalm. There's lots of emphasis and gladness and joy. Worship does that. It brings about joy in our. And then it gives us even some more reasons why we can praise God. Just in the very fact that he made us and that we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We read here that God is good. Important to note that. That's a big deal here in this passage, in this context. Because other gods are selfish. And are not good. This is the one true living God, and he is good. And so we can praise him for his goodness. And lastly, I want to share or read from Psalm 96. And then we will close. This one reads, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Notice, by the way, that's an invitation beyond just one place or another. All the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. In and of itself, that's a reason to pray. Praise him, our salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared of all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in his truth. So let's worship God. We've got a lot of reasons that we can worship. He's just worthy in and of itself. I appreciated that part where it says, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all the peoples.
I still
frequently look back on what God did for my wife, Becca. Declare his marvelous deeds. My wife was sick for a couple of months and was not expected to make it. But God made a way. And in 2 months' time, after the ectopic pregnancy, and after suffering on either side of her brain and losing half of her blood, in 2 months' time, she was able to recover and get back to a place where she could communicate and walk and have her cognitive ability back. And even one day, just a couple years later, give birth to our son Silas. Things like that. It says, declare his glory and his marvelous deeds. God does stuff like that. And it's still very real today. And we can give him praise and worship for that. The psalmists are very intentional there about proclaiming his marvelous deeds. This is what God does. And he is deserving of our praise and our glory. How can you proclaim God's marvelous deeds to those around you? That can be a way that we worship God. We worship. We can delight in God. God delights in us. We draw near to God. He draws near to us. He ministers to us in our worship. And it just changes the tone. Changes our perspective and our attitudes. And so I want to encourage us to worship God. How can you do that this week? Think of how you can offer your life in worship of a God who is just simply worthy. Will it reflect in your attitude? Will it reflect in your relationships? Will it reflect in your work? However it looks, God is worthy of it. God is worthy of our worship. And so I want to just encourage us in that this morning. Let's pray. God, Yahweh, you are that you are, and you're worthy of our praise and our worship. We thank you, God. You're just so good. Says your love endures forever, and we just want to give you our worship and our praise this morning, God. It's really all we have to offer, but we're grateful that you accept it. God, help us to lead lives that are just praiseful and worshipful. Help us, God, as we speak, as we think, as we do, to just do things to the praise of your glory. God, put that heart of worship in us and that we would just draw nearer to you in that. God, wow. I mean, you're just so worthy. And we do. We just want to say that we love you this morning. And we want to offer you, God, our worship. Thank you for that incredible purpose that we have, God, that we were born to worship. And what a cool thing that is. And how that ripples into eternity. Thank you, God, for the meaning and the power of worship. Help us to be worshippers, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with Can't Help But Worship by Danny Gokey.
I see the Lord. I see the Lord high lifted up in this place. The train of his robe, oh, the train of his robe is filling the temple as we wait. Your glory's in this room. How could I not be moved? Oh, I can't help but worship you. At the mention of your name, my heart erupts with praise. Oh, I can't help but worship you.
People that are serious about their faith, I think they often find themselves almost feeling like they're obligated to pray for everything that comes to their mind, you know, every week. And, you know, I think there's a time to just say, okay, God, today I'm just setting this aside to just praise you and worship you and delight in you. That's my agenda. It's not like God's going to forget the things I prayed about yesterday. He has a long memory. And he can remember those things. He can hang on to them for another day or two while I spend time just delighting in him and worshiping him. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for what Nate shared with us today. You truly are worthy of our praise. Lord, as we leave this building, we don't leave the idea of praise and worship behind. I ask, pray that this week we will find ourselves just spontaneously worshiping you. And when it's not spontaneous, Lord, that we will make a choice, deliberate choice, to worship and offer up praise, sometimes from one direction and sometimes from another direction. But Lord, let us leave with a strong, strong sense that your presence goes with us. In Jesus' name, amen.